You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Susan Frank talks to the animals and you. It's Wild About Pets on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the show, sponsored by Nutrisource, the super premium pet food. I'm talking to Kevin Behan, dog trainer and author of Your Dog is Your Mirror. Our phone lines are open. It's March 11th. Call 888-463-6748, or you can email me at susan@wildaboutpets.net to ask Kevin a question. We actually do have a caller on the line right now. Welcome, Jerry from New Mexico. Go ahead with your question for Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Well, hello, Jerry. She's a great friend of natural dog training. My friend and
anyway, I'm taking advantage of this opportunity to get more training on the phone right now.
Nice.
So, I was having the best day ever yesterday morning. The sun was coming up beautifully, a cup of tea. I popped in the shower, and when I came out, Connie usually just flies down while I'm in the shower, and I mistakenly did not close my closet door all the way, and when I came out, he had my brand new pair of boots and chewed the tall top off. And I'm like, okay, it was my mistake, I didn't close the closet door, but why is he chewing my boot? I really don't understand that at all.
Oh, that's a great question, and let me just back up and preface it with telling Susan and others that Prani had a big problem of attacking Jerry, and so we worked through it, and we're working backwards. And one of the things that I teach people is when the dog starts to heal, the puppy comes back. And the main reason why dogs have so many problem behaviors is everybody's training this puppy, and they're training the puppy out of the adult. And the truth is, the more the puppy that makes it into adulthood, the happier the dog.
Mm.
Yeah, so when a dog gets, the puppy gets trained out of it too young, or it gets traumatized for, I think a couple dogs jumped Prani and really bit him up and all that kind of thing. So the puppy gets scared and doesn't come out and play anymore. And when he starts to heal, they start to do the most amazing puppy stuff. They start to chew. They may lose some house training. They do these scoot and scaff all around the backyard. So it's actually a good thing. I like to hear those kind of things.
Well, but now, Jerry, is that what your feeling is about those boots then?
I actually think Kevin is right, but I caught Prani with the boot, so I yelled at him and took it away, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, see, that's what got you into the trouble. You should have praised him. I know it goes counter to our instincts are always wrong. The greatest show ever put out about animal behavior was one of the Seinfeld episodes with George Costanza realized that everything he did was wrong, and he did everything against his instincts, and it turned out he gets the girl and the job of his dreams by doing the opposite. So our instinct is to clobber the dog, get mad at the dog. That's how instincts work. But what you should have done or could have done was actually praise him and say, oh, good boy, give it to me, and have him bring the boot to you and then reward him and pet him up. Now, on one hand, it's true, you're reinforcing him through that, but it's very easy for him to outgrow that. And usually this regression to puppyhood stuff only lasts a couple weeks, and they train themselves at this point. So it's not important to dwell on that little to get that puppy trusting you again. So the little puppy came out in Prani, and that was an opportunity to teach the puppy that he could trust you with that.
Thank you very much for your question, Jerry. I hope that answered
it. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Jerry. I'll send you an email to review.
Okay.
So Kevin, let's talk a little bit about the third theme of your book, which is the real reason why dogs enter in our lives.
Right.
And I like picture number 14 because to me that puppy is saying, give yourself over to me, in a sense. I mean, that's how I interpret it. So talk a little bit more about the real reason why dogs enter our lives.
Right. Well, emotion is a universal to all living beings. And there's only two animals that are truly domesticated. One is the dog, by which he'll sublimate any urge to be in harmony with his family. You know, we don't let them kill chickens and run free. So, and they can live happily that way. that they're the only animal that can do it. The other animal is the human baby. So the real reason is when we grew up, we were domesticated, and we took on a whole system of beliefs. And I don't care how lovingly we're raised, and God forbid many of us aren't, we take on judgments and denials of emotion and blocks about the truth of what we're really feeling. And then we get a dog, he will trigger all of our pattern how we were domesticated. And we will recreate our domestic, we will raise our dog like we were raised.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we have to, just speaking of Jerry, with her instinct is to get mad at the dog, but that's not even, that didn't come from her head. Someone's words were in her mind when she did that. Not even her own words. She couldn't see what was really happening there because someone else was telling her what to do in her pattern, and somebody told them what to do. I'll tell you a real quick story. I think it was in a Reader's Digest, and it was Easter dinner, and there were four generations of women in the household during Easter dinner, and the mother took out the candied ham, and she cut two ends off it, the two little nibs off the ends, put it in a roasting pan and put it in the oven. And her daughter, who was 4 or 5 years old, said, "Mommy, why'd you do that?" And so she said, "Geez, I don't know. Let me ask my mother." So they asked the grandmama, and she said, "Why did you do that?" "Well, I don't know. Let me ask my mother." So the great grandmother was there, and they said, "Great grandma, why do we cut the ends off the turkey before we put it in the oven?" She said, "Well, my pan wasn't big enough." Now, I thought it was a beautiful example of how this charge, this information, was carried on generation after generation, and 3-4 generations down the line, nobody knew why they were doing it anymore. So we have this whole system of looking at animals, which is really another way of saying how we regard emotion itself. So how we, when our dog acts out different things, we're really put in touch with our own expression of emotion at an infant and very young age. And then somebody said to us, "Well, you can't do that, or you're a bad person." And even if nobody said anything, we will internalize it and judge against ourselves if we caused ourselves trouble.
And Kevin, this leads right into take that, our own personal baggage, as you're saying, and what we were trained with all the things we're taught about the way we're supposed to behave and train our dogs. And right. You know a lot about this. This is whole, we must be the pack leader. You must be the alpha. It's this dominance training that you grew up in, that you made a huge departure. And this will lead into our last section for our interview, which is you and how you were working with dogs. But very briefly, let's speak about where you decided that whole pack, alpha dominance theory is really missing a big piece of what we need to know.
Okay, yeah. I remember once my father, I was a dog trainer, and I grew up in his dog training business. And I remember once we were watching a mother with her young puppies, and they were getting to be 3 or 4 months of age, and one came over to look at a stick that she was chewing on, and she lashed out and pinned him down and growled and scared the living hell out of him. And my father said to me, "Well, that's how she teaches them respect, and this is how they'll end up being a functioning team." And I just couldn't escape the feeling that, no, she was just scaring the hell out of that puppy, and I couldn't see how it did any good. The puppy was easily startled after that. Even the mother was kind of corrupted after that. Their relationship wasn't any good after that. And so I started to question that, among many other things. And I realized in my way of looking at it ultimately, that what was really happening was she was transmitting her fear and stress to the puppy. And sure enough, he's going to grow up to be 2 or 3 years old, and then he'll transfer it to the next generation, just like that Easter ham story. And that's how information goes through time, as fear and stress. Nature can't transmit joy through time. All it can transmit is stress.
But Kevin, aren't we supposed to discipline our dogs if they are if they do something really wrong, and if they are basically in control? And you, I know you've seen this, and I've seen this with friends of mine. The dog is running the household. The dog chases people off of their beds. The dog is totally seeming to be running the house. Surely we must try and do something to change that, shouldn't we?
Yeah, but what it actually reflects, it doesn't reflect the lack of a pack leader. It reflects a lack of feeling. The people don't have enough honor for their own heart, and they're using guilt as an attention, as a metric of buying this dog off, and that's only going to produce the canine equivalent of contempt. They're not actually taking the dog's nature into account. The nature of a dog is purpose-driven, and if you don't give it a purpose, it will seek conflict as its only option. And it looks like someone's not being dominant and being permissive, but what they actually are, they're afraid of their own will. Because in a real group, the way I raise my dogs, there's no physical discipline. I train them at an appropriate age. There's no puppy training. But in a true group, there's one will, and everyone aligns around it effortlessly and spontaneously and innately. And that's what we have to do. I like to give the example of a quarterback on a football team. He's typically the least physically imposing person. He can be quiet and soft-spoken, and the other guys in the locker room are big linemen, and they're demonstrative, and they're aggressive, and they're dominant, but they're not the leader. The only one is the leader is the one who can make everybody feel good, and they all align around him. And that's what gives him his self-confidence. He can put the ball in the end zone. So our job as dog owners is to learn what constitutes the end zone for the dog. And then we have this amazing will that gets the dog, by participating as part of the team, to that goal line. And that's what makes them feel connected to us. So when you see dogs that are running amok, you're really seeing, believe it or not, a fear of emotion, just as much as when you see a dog that's got an overbearing handler, and it's too tough and too hard on the dog, and the dog is always shrinking before him. That's the same exact fear of emotion that both parties are showing.
Well, now, you know, what we're talking about is just a little fragment of what you go into the book. And so I do want to encourage anyone to go to Your Dog is Your Mirror, this book that is, you know, for sale everywhere now because it's a brand new book. And the book goes into so much more detail and it really explains the workings of ourselves and dogs. And so if anyone's feeling a lack of, well, wait a minute, I'm not quite getting what I would do, please, you know, I do encourage everyone to read Your Dog is Your Mirror. Well, one thing I have a question about for you, Kevin, is referring to photograph number 18, where you have this dog jumping up. And I'm puzzled a little bit because we're taught, don't let the dogs jump up onto you. That could be a sign of problems. And when you meet a dog on the street, there's one that lives in my condo complex. He's gotten a little older and more controlled, but he would be leaping, a black lab leaping 6 feet off the ground, bouncing like a spring and wanting to catapult his body against mine. And everything I've been taught is don't let that happen. So I see the pictures where, and I watched some of your training videos, also, which you can see on your website, where you're letting the dogs jump up. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, once the dog knows where his energy goes, he then learns where it doesn't go. So, for example, I never taught my kids not to rob banks. Somehow they got it. So when I raise my dog, I teach him where his energy goes, and I actually invite him to be very physical with me. And so when he sees someone who's not inviting him, why would he want to jump up on them? They're not inviting him. And it's very akin to, you know, a young child will run up and run into their parent and hug them. And we don't say, well, boy, we better correct that kid. That 20 years from now, I'm going to be older. He's going to be bigger. Let me tell him no. We know the child will naturally not want to do that as an adult. So what I do when I raise a puppy is I never put them in a position where they would want to jump on a stranger or on me. And I only use this contacting, I call it, in training. And they learn where it goes, and therefore they learn where it doesn't go.
Okay.
I guarantee you, that dog that's jumping all over you, I guarantee you, as a puppy, he was trained not to jump. So when he sees a stranger, he goes ballistic.
And I started thinking that it was probably something that I was generating. Kevin, when I was wondering, well, why is this dog reacting this way to me? Because I'd see that other people could go pet the dog. I've never been able to pet that dog because it's always jumping on me.
Yeah, you know what it is? You're probably more open than the people he runs into.
Okay.
And so, for example, is he owned by a couple?
No, it's a single gentleman.
Yes, the dog probably feels a special pull to you.
Mm.
And I don't know if the man lets the dog jump or not, but he probably makes a big deal out of not jumping. And you probably want to connect with that dog more, and other people are probably putting up a wall.
Oh, well, that makes sense to me, and I actually like that answer. Kevin, we are out of time. My guest today has been Kevin Behan, veteran dog trainer and author of Your Dog is Your Mirror, The Emotional Capacity of Our Dogs and Ourselves. Kevin, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been my pleasure.
You will find the links to Kevin's website, naturaldogtraining.com, his Facebook page, and how to order his books on the Talk Zone episode page, and also on my companion website, wildaboutpets.net. As always, I love hearing your comments and questions. Write me on my Facebook page or at wildaboutpets.net. Thank you so much for listening.